We all have our favorites. My favorite is Richie Neal, Massachusetts 1st District, my congressman, a Democrat in office since 1989. So, Richie, in terms of we have holiday spirits, but at the same time, we have a sort of a gloom that has descended over some of us. How you doing?
Well, it's a pall. I think that's a pretty accurate term. Well, yeah, and I think that one of the issues that's pretty apparent is that most of us have embraced this notion of a conventional political system in our representative democracy. And I think that one of the outcomes of this election has been during the course of the last year that many of us witnessed very unpredictable undertakings. And I think that it's given the system a pretty significant jolt.
Richie, how are you dealing with it personally? I mean, how does one deal with the fact that you now see a candidate getting more votes than the other candidate by a lot, 3 million extra votes, but we have a political system, and I know you teach politics, and I know you know about politics, which has an electoral college. The New York Times opines against it, but it's kind of hard to reconcile, isn't it?
Well, during different intervals, I've seen it argued flat and round, as you might expect, and I recall that it was Donald Trump who, during the Romney candidacy for president, highlighted the notion that he thought that in Romney's case, that the opposite might play out. And he, at that time, railed against the system and ridiculed it. And then, out of obvious political convenience, once it went in a different direction in his own candidacy, he applauded the system. I think what the underlying issue is, though, I think that we acknowledge he won the Electoral College. I think when you say in the aftermath that I also won the electoral vote, I mean, I won the vote, the popular vote, there is no evidence to support that conclusion. And then when you further detail your response by suggesting that if millions of illegal immigrants had not voted and others who weren't supposed to vote, then he clearly would have had a big victory in the popular vote as well. There is, again, no substantial evidence that even remotely supports that position.
So, I have been severely criticized for what I'm about to say. But he comes on and he says, this vote is going to be rigged. The election is rigged. Now, I have grave problems with that because basically he was undermining, you know, the democratic system in this country. But then he wins and it's not rigged anymore. Then he appoints four generals, if I'm correct, and a whole bunch of other military guys to the cabinet. Here's what I'm afraid of. What happens when the next election comes up? The polls are showing him losing disastrously, if that happens. And he says, this election coming up is going to be rigged also. He did it once. Why won't he do it again? And therefore, we can't have an election. Think it's possible in this country?
Well, 49 states surveyed precisely the evidence that you've just highlighted and said that they found nothing untowards to have been conducted during those elections. I believe the Secretary of State in Kansas did not respond to the survey. So there is no evidence this election was rigged, and there would have been no evidence that the election was rigged had he prevailed in the popular vote. And I just think that when we argue that the system is rigged if we're not going to win, and then suggest in the next breath, well, if we win, that means the system's not rigged. There's no evidence that supports any of that as a conclusion. And I think that we all accept elections where we don't like what happened. But in this instance, I think that the troubling aspect of it is, this notion is from the president-elect, that if he were not to have prevailed, then the system was rigged. And by the way, to carry that to its next sense of logical manifestation, he suggests, well, illegal immigrants, people who shouldn't have been voting and others, they were the ones that have allowed Hillary Clinton to proclaim that she won the popular vote by 3 million. I think faith in our democratic institutions has to be much more substantive than that.
Yeah, but you didn't get to my what some people would say paranoid view, which is, if he was willing when he wasn't the president to say the election was going to be rigged, is there a danger that when he come to the next election, he'll say this is going to be rigged, but now he's the president and he says, well, too bad, until I can be sure it's not going to be rigged, you can't have an election?
Well, I think that our institutions are too strong for that. And I also think that there's another opportunity here in the confirmation process where the candidates are vetted in front of what I would hope to be mainstream media which I still have reasonable faith in. And I think that they'll have a chance to answer some questions that'll be pretty carefully prepared. One of the things that I think that has come of this election, it's kind of interesting, is that Marco Rubio and John McCain and Lindsey Graham have become much more assertive. And they felt the invective during the campaign that was hurled at them, but they now are in a, what we might deem to be a safe spot because they've both been reelected to six-year terms, which, by the way, gets them past the next presidential election. And so I think they have all been very critical of the role of Russia, for example, in our election process, where the CIA and the FBI have both come to the same conclusion, and that is that there was a concerted effort, a sophisticated effort by Vladimir Putin and others, including the 250,000 now fake websites, to alter the result of this election. So my sense is that McCain is going to go back to the McCain that we knew when he challenged George W. Bush for the presidency 16 years ago.
So on the Russian issue, just to be specific, you've talked about what we're hearing from the CIA and FBI. And you, Richie Neal, what are you thinking about that?
I think that there was a concerted effort, and I believe that Vladimir Putin attempted to influence the outcome of the American election. And I think that the fake websites that were utilized and the fake news that was passed on was a very sophisticated effort. And when you read the details of what was passed on to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee and the Democratic National Committee in terms of a warning, it was fairly weak. But it's fascinating that on the Republican side, we did not receive or read any of their emails, those private moments. And there's another suggestion I would have here, a warning for people. In this atmosphere of extraordinary changes almost daily in technology, be careful what you put in emails, because yeah. I think that the evidence is pretty compelling that these personal moments where you try to reflect can be much more easily accomplished on the phone or in person.
Okay, we got 2 minutes. I want to just go to a whole different place and ask you about Massachusetts' decision to legalize marijuana. Consider yourself asked.
Well, the referendum question was pretty clear, and I think that the momentum was clearly on the side of the legalized effort. And I also think that one of the difficulties with the question is now, how is it to be parceled out? And I think that the results from Colorado, as I tried to discern them, they've been pretty mixed. And I know that there have been substantial complaints in some of the college towns about the use of marijuana, and even with its legalization. But there was a referendum question, and the public embraced it. So now I think it's up to the government to regulate it properly and to tax it properly.
Anything, got a minute? Anything specific you'd like to see done in the regulation end?
Well, I one of the concerns I've had is as we fight this opiate crisis, which is taking an extraordinary toll on the American family, that I think the evidence was pretty clear that marijuana was a gateway drug.
Yes.
And I think that that in and of itself ought to demand further exploration. And also to point out that on one hand, we, in that recent CARES Act in Congress, we set aside more than $1 billion for preventive efforts and for rehab efforts and to provide more beds for those who are fighting opiate addictions. And I think we ought to measure that against this notion that we ought to make marijuana more easily available to the consumer.
Our friend is Richie Neal. He's from Massachusetts' 1st District. He's my congressman. He's been in office since 1989. And Richie, when we come back, I'm going to say congratulations, and I'll tell you why then.
Thanks, Alan.